Hallelujah. Chapter 15, folks. Not a lot to say other than this is where, you know, it meets the road, so to speak. We all know the story that's coming this week and next week. But I want to begin simply by saying you choose. Yes, you choose once, but you also choose every day. All right? You choose every day. Not whether or not just to come here and sit in a pew, not whether or not to stand and sing or give a tithe or show up at a church function. All right? Every day you choose to believe that what we're going to talk about today is actually true or it's not true. There's your sermon. Every single day, the passage we will read and talk about today, you will choose to believe whether or not it is true or it is not true. That this happened or that it did not happen. That he did it for you or he didn't. There's not an in between. And at the end of the message today, it won't be the words that are going to tell us this. It'll be a picture. A picture that was intentionally painted by Jesus. And I don't want you to miss that. Let me start with a verse. Alright? And I've taught you this before, but I want to teach it to you again. Because if you don't remember anything else, you can remember this. Alright? John 3:16 says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me do it in 7 words. It's 8 words, but it's only 7. Alright? Ready? God love, you say. God love, God gave, we believe, we receive. There it is. John 3:16 in 8 words. God love, God gave, we believe, we receive. God love, God gave, we believe, we receive. And the culmination, the climax, if it were a novel, alright, the denouement, that's next week, alright, for you English people, alright. The climax is today, alright. God love, God gave, we believe. We make the choice, and we receive. There is no ATM, heavenly ATM. You got to drive through. No bill you have to pay. Because of today, because of this gift, you believe. You receive. Let's talk about what went down as people tried to make a decision. It's a court case, really. Early in the morning, the chief priests and the elders and the teachers of the law, the whole Sanhedrin, reached a decision and they bound Jesus and they led him away, handed him over to Pilate. You're going to find a lot today that there's a lot of handing off of Jesus. Alright? There's a lot of handing off of Jesus. I think that's ironic. I think it's telling. I think we do it. When it doesn't fit our needs, when it doesn't fit our agenda, or when we don't want to shoulder the blame for ourselves, we talk about somebody who is maybe more sinful than us, or we lay responsibility on someone else to take care of this chore at the church, or that thing to be needs to be done at the church. We pass Jesus off. And so the people who've been trying to get him for so long are now like, hey, we got him. Now let's hand him off to Pilate and let him make the decision. I love it. Chief priests accused him of many things. But does anybody know what was Jesus actually crucified for? We always talk about him dying for our sins. That's true, but that's the whole gospel story thing. In the trial, what was he tried for? Blasphemy. Treason. Blasphemy against the authority. Okay? Which turns into blasphemy against Rome, blasphemy against Caesar, and that's how they got it. Treason against the government. Okay? I'm the king. But you're not the king. But I am the king. But you're not the king. Look at you. You're in handcuffs. Chief priest said, and Pilate asked him, Pilate said to him, are you, he's giving him a way out, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus' response says everything. Aren't you going to answer? Jesus made no reply. But Jesus' first reply was this. Yes. Whatever you say. Whatever you say. You see, Pilate, where we are now is kind of irrelevant to what you believe. Or what the people you're going to hang to next believe. Or what the people who turned me in believe. You're looking for a guy to wear a crown. You're looking for a guy to carry a scepter. You're looking for a guy to wear the robes. It doesn't matter what I say right now in this court case. I haven't been trying to wear a robe or a scepter or raise taxes or change the law since I've been here. What you're looking for, you're not going to find anyway. So yeah, in the question that you're asking, only you can call this. What difference does it make? He was unafraid standing before Pilate. Whatever you say, man. And so Pilate didn't know what to do. So basically, he took him in front of the crowd. Alright? And we don't know what the crowd means. We have no idea what the crowd means. Could have been, I never heard this before, but I read today. Could have been, makes sense, the group of friends that came to request that their friend Barabbas be released. Alright? Because people would come and beg of the mercy when someone else was going to be crucified that somebody else be let go. You get a sentence and you get a pardon. So one guy says it could have just been the crowd of people that was gathered to release. It could have been a mob, just a random spattering of folks outside the temple. Could have been. Could have just been the chief priests and the rulers and their wives and their neighbors and all the people they'd riled up to get their way. Now, I know that doesn't happen in churches, all right? But it happened in the Bible. I know there's never a time when we get an organization or a group of people and we tell them our story and we get them to do the things that we want to do so that we can stay in control and it doesn't matter what is said or done. You know, I know that never happens. But it happened here. Alright? Maybe it's those people who came in and said, no. He ain't getting off. He ain't getting off. Let's gather the troops and let's cry out. You know what was interesting? There are some texts, I don't know if you've ever heard this, there are some texts that tell us what Barabbas' first name was. You might know. Jesus. Huh, interesting. Release whom? Release which one? I just found that interesting. So they hand him off to the crowd. The crowd makes their decision, but they hand him off again to the soldiers. The soldiers led Jesus away, called together a whole company of soldiers. I can't tell you why that happened, but I have an idea. Remember last week when I said they came to arrest Jesus and it was the number was supposedly a legion? And when Jesus spoke, it was like a thunder, like a wind rushed over them and knocked them all down. I think they were a little bit upset about that. And I think they were also a little scared. Does that make sense at all? So when Jesus is handed off to them, they don't need him talking again and knocking everybody down. So they get a big group around this one guy in his toga and his flip-flops, all right? They completely disrobe him, and they start mocking him. They take a garment, probably purple, to make fun, kingly, put it on him. They take the crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they spit him, and they kick him, and they beat him, and they treat him like a nobody. And then they do something that you don't do to any Roman citizen. They do something inhumane, all right? They scourge him. They take a whip with 9 pieces of leather attached to it, and chips of bone and glass and pottery, all right, in there, and they whip him. They whip him. All the number of times that they're legally allowed to whip him. Then they just leave. Now, I'm not getting graphic. There's no reason for that. But you need to understand that at this point, the Son of God is unrecognizable. You need to understand that much, okay? When this thing is whipped on him, okay, it goes around and all nine pieces catch wherever they are. And then the guy that's doing it is taught how to pull. And so nine pieces grab his flesh and rip. Nine pieces grab his flesh again and rip. So it was all around and it was pulled. 39 times, because the maximum limit was 40. Pulled. What's 39 times 9, 270 and 81? 451 gashes from his chin all the way down, pulled over. I mean, he's not recognizable. One of the ways we know this is because he can't get up. He certainly can't get up enough to carry. So Mark lets us know that there's a guy named Simon that they said, you know, he's barely going to make it up the hill. You carry the cross. All right? And they carry him up. They placed him, in verse 22. They brought Jesus to the place of Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but didn't take it. They crucified him, dividing up his clothes. It was the third hour, the written notice, King of the Jews. They crucified two robbers with him. Listen, they crucified two robbers with him, one on the right, one on the left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads. So you're going to destroy the temple and build it 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself. In the same way the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, King of Israel, come down. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Now, Mark runs through this pretty quickly. Okay? Mark runs through this whole scene quick. That's who Mark is. All right? He just, boom, lays it out. There are expanded versions of each part of this in all of the other Gospels. Okay? Here's the one thing. There's two things in this part that I want you to look at. First, that the insults they hurled at him show the stupidity of the crowd. You're the one who said you were going to destroy the temple and in 3 days restore it. You know what Jesus should have said right then? I'm doing it. What do you think's going on right now? The temple is being destroyed right now. You're doing it. Give me 3 days. I'll show you where it is. That's the insult. They're hurling insults at him, and he's got to be going, duh. And the next one is the two thieves crucified on one side of him, left, and the other side of him, right. And in the other stories that are expanded, something happens. One of the robbers, okay, one of the thieves, all right, who is being crucified with him, just joins the crowd, mocks him, curses him, tells him that he is not who he says he is. The other guy, we have one sentence recorded from him. And I want you to listen very closely to this one sentence. Remember me when you get into your kingdom. I want you to listen. Remember me when you get into your kingdom. All right? I told you this message was about choice. This message was about choosing to believe that this happened. Okay? The picture that I was talking about is right out there in front of you. The picture of life, the picture of the story, the picture of the Bible from the beginning up until now, right there on top of the hill. Step back. Step back. Step all the way back. All right? And take a look at the hill. Look at the hill. Sun going down in the background. What do you have? Right in the middle. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay? On one side, you have a guy who says, you are not who you say you are. On the other side, you have a guy who says, I believe you are exactly who you say you are. How do I know that he believes that? Okay? He humbly makes a request. He doesn't say, save me. He doesn't say, get me down. He simply says, remember me. That's a very humble request, okay? We come before the Lord humbly. Second, he uses the word when. Could have used the word if, right? You just kicked the light bulb just went off, didn't it? Could have used the word if. Remember me what? When you get into your kingdom. That means he knew. He knew when you are going to get there, okay? When you get that everything that happened in the rest of the chapter before is foolishness. Dying, looking at a mangled, broken, nothingness human. He realized that he was in the presence of something more. And in that simple sentence, we find salvation. Wait a minute, you're a good Baptist. What needed to happen next was somebody needed to get one of those troughs where they cattle drink, and we needed to carry it up to the top of the hill. We got to get that guy down off the cross. We got to put him in the water over his head. We got to get him back out. Then we'll hang him back up there because there is a slip and slide at the pearly gates. And if he ain't been baptized, sanctified, healed by the Holy Ghost, then he ain't getting in. Got some news for you, church. I believe in baptism. I believe this guy's in heaven. You deal with it. I cannot have an argument, even a conversation with someone who says, if you are not baptized, you are going to hell. I can't have that conversation with them because I know a guy. And if one part of the Bible isn't true, none of it is. None of it. You want to know. You want to be a part. You want to change the world. You want to pick a side. Humbly acknowledge that this Jesus, this baby, this teenager in a temple, this sea-walking, bread-making, fish-breaking, lame-saving, blind-making-seeing, redneck from Galilee, whose buddies couldn't get it right to save their life. One of them even kissed him in the middle of the night and got him killed. These ragamuffins. Thank you, Brendan. These ragamuffins are who built his church. And I am Prince Ragamuffin. I have stumbled and I have fallen. I have seen the top of the mountain and the bottom of my valley. I can't compare my valley to anybody else's for darn sure. There's a lot of experiences in life that I don't get, but I do get pain, I do get hurt, I do get sin, I do get shame, I do get grace. And all I got, Jesus, is remember me. Remember me. Because I have a choice. This side or this side. Happy at the beginning. You got a choice. Take everything that God has to offer you or eat off the tree. Right? You got a choice. Follow Jesus or don't follow Jesus. You got a choice. Believe that the Virgin Mary gave birth or don't believe that the Virgin Mary gave birth. You got a choice. Believe that Isaiah, hundreds of years before it happened, said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they are crimson, they shall be white as snow. Believe it. Believe that the temple will be torn down and restored in 3 days. Believe it. It's right out there in front of us. And at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land. Until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't have time to tackle this passage. Okay? I don't. Alright? And I don't want to cause any theological discussions. And I know that this is going to go on the podcast. I'll take that chance. I want you to listen very close to what I'm going to say. I'm not a theological wizard. We know that. Okay? I'm not the smartest guy on the planet. We know that. This phrase troubles me. Troubles me. Okay? But I have come to a place in my life where it doesn't trouble me at all. And if I'm wrong, when God allows me humbly into His kingdom, I will ask. Until that time, all I have is what the Spirit has done for me that I can share with you, and we can debate it for years to come. And here it is. I believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Y'all got that so far? I believe that they are three in one. I believe that they had to be three in one for Jesus to do what He had to do, right? He had to be 100% God so He could live without sin. He had to be 100% man so that He could die, because God is eternal. I believe. Are you listening to that? I believe that this is the moment in history where the Trinity was separated. Here's why. God can't die. And I think it's that moment that Jesus pictured, sees His dad doing what He's always known He had to do and what had to be done. Separating Himself. Walking away with His back to His boy. And Jesus can't stand it anymore. And it just comes out. My God! My God! My God! Not me anymore! My God! Why have You forsaken me? He knows, but it hurts! The pain was nothing. It was awful, but it was nothing compared to that. Jesus didn't cry out till here. My God, why have You forsaken me? Just that moment. And it would be restored. It would absolutely be restored. But my feeble mind can't reconcile this any other way. Christ died. God can't. It's why we have three. And Jesus, over the next, 36 to 48 hours, whatever you want to call it, it's not 3 days like we, it's on the third day, He took a trip. You got to piece together the gospel to figure that out. And then we get to next week. But, some of them said He's calling Elijah. A man filled with sponge of wine, offered Him on a stick. That was foretold. That was prophecy. Jesus doing everything He said He was going to do. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed His last. The curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Just a quick note on that. Inside the temple was a place called the Holy of Holies. It's where the priest, and only the priest, went to become clean. And then he would come out and make everybody else clean. But nobody who was not made holy by a priest higher than him could get in. Okay? That area was cut off by a giant curtain. The moment Jesus died, that curtain was ripped. Interestingly enough, it was taller than any man could reach. It was ripped from top to bottom. Way larger hands than any man. Do with that what you wish. Okay? But here's what it said. Come in. Come in. Nobody has to speak for you anymore. Nobody has to pray for you and your salvation and your hope anymore. No sacrifice has to be made anymore to pay your price. Come in. Be with Me. I just made you holy enough. Some women were amazed, and they were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, James, the younger brother, Joseph, Salome, and Galilee. These women had followed and cared for Him. There's one more person worth mentioning there before we finish. There's one more person worth mentioning there. It gives me a swift kick in the bottom, and I want to finish with giving that. It's almost an encouragement and a challenge all at the same time. Last week we talked about the disciples scattering. Okay, remember that? And we talked about Peter, and I made this statement at a distance. If you follow at a distance, you will deny Him. There's no halfway in this game. You either go all in or you get out, because halfway you're going to end up out anyway. Alright? That's in the Gospels. That's in the Revelation. But listen close. And I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. When the disciples scattered, there were 12. One dies, Judas.
Alright,
they end up having to replace him. Alright, we know that one, Peter, followed halfway. Okay, that leaves 10. 9 are never heard from until we get back to the upper room. Gone. Jesus gets put in chains, 9 disappear. 1 dies, 1 sneaks. But there was 1 left. And we're not told that he's left. We're told in a statement that Jesus makes from the cross. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And I call this the Oscars of the gospel. To me, this is a presentation of the highest honor, the trophy, the Nobel Prize for following. Because do you know who was standing there? John. The beloved disciple John. Quietly and humbly made it all the way to the foot of the cross. And Jesus gave him the highest honor. And here's what it is. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Take my place. Be me to the world. This is the goal. This is the goal. Not under your own weight, but to believe that God's love began it all. To believe that God's love was extended by giving his only son. To believe that that son died and God had to constantly and continually, along with Jesus, play this thing out and go through it. And if you believe it, then you may have it. And that very thing drives you to be more like him. And the prize is that moment when you step into the footprints of Jesus Christ and become him, hands, feet, the Jesus that the world needs to see. This is the gospel, and this is how we spread the gospel. Be Jesus to the world. Say this with me. Just say the words with me. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white. Sing it with me. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white. See that last line again, you gotta understand it. He washed it white. One more time, just to make sure we got it. He washed.